You like, you know by now that Luke and I are very good friends. I like going the Gospel by Luke. Chapter 14. Verse number 1, and it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Verse number 7, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked out how they choose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bid thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. And when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he that bid thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed or happy is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out unto the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And this is likely the saddest verse in this section. For I say unto you, that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's all I want to read with you, and trust the Lord. Well, blessed to us this reading of His Word. I think I said at the beginning of the meetings, it was never easy to decide what we might speak on and speak about on our first night of meetings, and it was never easy to speak on the last night either. Nevertheless, I thought this being the last night, I would like to speak a little on the Last Supper, or the last gospel supper, the supper of the gospel. It's looked upon, you know, as the great supper. And it is a supper because the supper is always the last meal of the day. And of course, when we have our supper, then darkness comes. I know that you haven't much twilight here in this land of yours, but after supper time, it's bedtime, it's darkness, and there's no more meals for the day. And it would be interesting, we're not going to do it, of course, but it would be interesting to look at the number of suppers that are found in the Bible. You know, there's a lovely supper that we engage in on the first day of the week. A supper that we partake of. It's the Lord's Supper. And if you were to look into this hall on the Lord's Day morning about 11 o'clock, you would find that in the midst of the hall there is a table spread. And on that table there is a loaf of bread. And there is a cup of wine. Symbols of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and of His precious blood. And it's a tremendous privilege to come together to partake of that in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ until He comes back again. Maybe already, those of us who did that on Lord's Day morning last, that will be the last time, for we'll hear His shout and then the air will be caught home. And then of course there's another supper in the Bible, way back, or way on in the book of the Revelation. And in chapter 19, we find there that there's the great supper of God. I take it that at that particular point, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And He has annihilated His enemies. And there's the great angel calling upon the fowls of the air to participate and eat the bodies, the carcasses of men and women, captains and kings and great men, all that kind of thing. And you know, it's a very sad thing. I'm glad I won't be there. I won't be involved in that supper. I won't be here when the Lord comes to reign on the earth. And it'll be a very sad day. I don't know when that will be, but I know that before that takes place, He's going to come for His own and save people. And just like the steel pins that rise in response to the power of the magnet, every saved person will be gathered home. And I wouldn't like to be left. My friend, let me say this very kindly to you tonight, that if you're not saved, you'll be left. Left for the days of tribulation, for the mark of the beast, for the bowing to the Antichrist. Awful days, oh awful day. Who would not be sheltered, O Lamb of God, in thee? Safe at thy side, when wild and loud the shrieks of that unnumbered crowd shall rend the heavens and fill the skies, till judgment's doom shall close their cries. Will you be here then? Will you? There's no need for you to be here at that particular time. But let's look at this supper here. I want us to see the point of the parable, first of all. Why this parable was spoken. The Lord Jesus is in the house of the chief Pharisee. He goes in to eat in the house of the chief Pharisee. And of course, they were watching Him. Well, they're going to see what He's going to do on the Sabbath day. Might you know, as those of us who are saved travel through the world, people that are unsaved, and they're keeping their eyes upon us, and they're trying to find fault. Trying to find fault, and making all kinds of excuses why they're not saved. I tell you, friend, just look at this little story for a minute. They were watching Him, what He would do on the Sabbath day. And of course, we didn't read those verses, but on those intervening verses, there was a man who had a disease, and He healed him. They were watching the Savior in the house of the Pharisee. But listen, they didn't recognize that He was watching them. And you that's not saved, my dear friend, let me say this. Don't keep your eye on the Christians. Just think that there's an eye open looking down into your soul. Sometimes we point a finger. But you'll not forget that there are three pointing back, and this thumb's pointing up. He was watching them as they sat at meat there in the house of the Pharisee. What did He see? He saw two things. He saw people that were invited to come. And what did they do? They took the chief seats. They sat in the most principal seats at that feast. They wanted to be seen, and they wanted to see. And the Lord saw them. And then, of course, they saw something else. He saw something else. He saw that in that company of people, there were those, and they invited people to their house. What kind of people did they invite? Oh, they invited the rich. They invited the people with means in order to be invited to their house and then invited back again. And the Lord noticed two things. He observed bad manners and He observed bad motives. Bad manners taking the highest place. Bad motives inviting people
that they in turn would be invited.
And so, listening to that conversation, there was a man. And as he was speaking to the Lord, you know, the Lord had been saying to him, now, what you ought to do is this. You ought to take the lowest seat. That when someone comes in, they'll say, now, go up higher. Instead of blushing and coming down and sitting on the lowest place. And he says to the other people, now when you're inviting friends, don't invite in people that are rich. But invite people that are poor and maimed and halt and blind. You invite those people because they can't in turn invite you. And now said this individual to the Lord, must be a wonderful experience, must be a very happy experience to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, I think that every one of us tonight would understand that would be a tremendous privilege to eat bread in the kingdom of God. And in other words, if I might put it this way, it would be a tremendous pleasure to be in heaven. To be in heaven. The place, the land of fadeless day. The land of glory. The land of light and the land of love. We would all be happy about that, wouldn't we? But my friend, let me tell you this. If you're not saved, you won't be there. If you're not saved, you won't be there. Take it not from the man behind the desk. Take it from the Word of God. What does the Lord say? He said, now look, it's just like this. There was a certain man made a great supper. And he bade many. And he said now to his servant at supper time, he says, go out into and speak to those people and tell them the supper's ready. Come for all things are now ready. And of course that servant went out. Now you might wonder this evening, whatever has that got to do with the gospel? Well, you know, my dear friend, what it has to do with the gospel is this. That this is God's last message to a perishing world. I say it reverently, God has no other message for mankind today. No wonder the writer in another book says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. And the message that God has for the people of Brisbane and Australia and the world, the people of this meeting, is the message of the gospel. And we have it lovely, very beautifully pictured here in this story. Now, it wasn't everybody that was able to provide a supper. It was only those individuals that were able. They had the wherewithal to provide a supper, to invite people. I don't know what it's like in Australia here. I haven't bought any groceries since I come. But I know that back home in UK, that things are very expensive. And it costs a lot of money to make a large meal for a large gathering of people. But I'm going to tell you, friend, this evening, that the God of heaven has made a tremendous provision for the world. Mark you for the world. Not for a fevered few. Oh, not for the people just of that come to the gospel hall. For the people of the world. I want to underscore that, friend. For don't think, please, don't think in your mind that if I'm going to be in heaven, I'll be in heaven. You may as well sat tonight at the fireside or in your home and say, if I'm going to be at the meeting tonight, I'll be at the meeting. That's only nonsense. That's not even sensible. If I'm going to be in the meeting, I have to rise and go. Is that right? And if I'm going to get God's salvation, I'll have to go in for it and make up my mind that I want it and I'll get it. And I believe with all my heart that when God sees a seeking sinner, there's always a Savior provided who's seeking too. What did the Lord mean when he said to those 11 men on the slopes of Olivet long ago before he went back to heaven? What did he mean when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? What did he mean by that?
given you time to think. He meant that every creature needed the gospel. And that there's provision in the gospel for every creature. And I'm glad tonight, friend, that as a preacher of the gospel, and on behalf of the risen Christ, I can offer salvation and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that was a costly meal, this. And my friend, let me say this reverently. It was a costly message. It is a costly message. To tell men and women and boys and girls that there is forgiveness of sins for them. To tell them that there is a home in heaven for them. To tell them that they can escape the judgment of God. That's a tremendous costly message. Do you know the cost? Not in the dollars of Australia. Nor in the pounds of the United Kingdom. Cost God His Son. When I think that God His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled, He died to take away my sin. Sometimes I wonder, the day the Savior left heaven and home, and He passed the archangels and the seraphims and the angels by, many a time I wonder in my simple mind, did one angel look at another and say, and ask each other, where is He going? Where is He going? Oh, my friend, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He was on His way down. My, that's a mystery. That's a wonder. That every left his home. And he came down to a world. Maybe the world didn't want him. The world didn't want him. And the world still doesn't want him. They closed him out at Bethlehem. They start to push him over the brow of the hill at Nazareth. They had no time for him in Gadara. There's no place for him in Capernaum. And there are no place or room for him in Jerusalem. He was the one who was rejected. And he was despised. Oh, my friend, tonight, I appeal to your soul. Don't despise the Christ of God. Don't despise the Savior of sinners. For he came down into this world in haste and at the appointed time. What to do? To seek and to save the lost. What a mission. I say it reverently, what a man. The cost. Someone has said. And reverently, no doubt, that when he left home, God emptied heaven. He came down to Bethlehem. To a cattle enclosure. Oh no, there was no room for him in the inn. There he lay in a manger. The very place where the cattle eat their food. The Christ of God. The sustainer of worlds. The one who spins our world in its axis at 1,000 miles an hour. Controls the seasons and the days and the hours and the months. Oh, I tell you, there he was. Bethlehem. The eye of God was always upon him. That blessed man was always in touch with heaven. When the disciples went to their own homes, he went to the Mount of Olives. His head was filled with dew and his locks with the drops of the night. One night he lay in the garden. Disciples were asleep. And the agony of soul was such that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We will never be able to understand that. We'll never be able to fathom it. The agony of soul that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced in the garden. We'll never be able to understand the mockery that he endured in the halls of judgment. When he stood there, silent, lamb led to the slaughter. When I was doing my training, I had some work to do in the abattoir in Larne. A young boy in my teens. I used to see them, the butchers, pull the bullocks in. Those great cattle. And they had two or three rings concrete into the ground, and they put a halter on the beast and they pull it through these rings, and then four or five men on the other side, and they used to pull and pull and pull until they got the rat animal right in, and then they killed it. But you know what struck me many a time? I used to see them bring the lambs in. The butcher brought the little lamb on his arm. There wasn't a sound. He brought it right in, and then he shot it. And every little lamb that I saw being brought in, you know, I used to think he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. My friend, this is the cost of the gospel. That's involved as far as God and Christ is concerned to save one's soul and take away one's sin. They led him out to Calvary's Hill. And there on that cross, the Maker, the Sustainer of worlds. Do you ever think of it? Do you ever think of the reality of it, friend? Do you ever think of the solemnity of it and the cost of it? There the darkness falls. The crowds disperse. And those devoted disciples go. And they're alone in the darkness of Golgotha. God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. The Maker of the universe. Man for man was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed the bow that grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence had sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood, the sky that darkened o'er his head. By him above the earth was spread the sun that veiled from him its face. By his decree was poised in space the spear that drew his precious blood, was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks, his hands had made. The throne which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him
That's my Saviour, friend. Do you know that not only the disciples and those devoted women forsake him, but God forsook him. God forsook him. Oh, listen to those words. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Could I say this to you that's not saved? He was forsaken on that cross that you might not and never be forsaken. Be an awful tragedy, friend, to die in your sins and go down to the fiery burning lake and your soul enveloped in the torment and in the judgment of God and the man of Calvary bearing sins making available to you, you could have salvation and peace with God. The price. Where is he tonight? Oh, there's an open grave. There's an empty tomb. There's a filled throne. I'm thankful the throne's filled. Man put him on a cross. Two men put him on a grave. God put him on a throne. And he's there. And he's able to save sinners. He's able to save you. Wouldn't it be an awful thing, friend, if you look back from a lost eternity and the thought haunted you, burned into your soul for eternity, that he made provision for me in Calvary and I didn't take it. Interesting to note, as we look at this little story, not only the point of the parable and the price of the feast, but I want you to think of the personal invitation that was sent. The servant went out. When? When all things were ready. And you know, 10 days after the Lord Jesus Christ sat on the throne, the Spirit of God came down to make good to men the work of Christ. Wasn't until the work was finished and the throne was filled that the Spirit of God came down to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now look at this invitation that was given. I can see this servant here going out. I'm meeting this first person saying, now look, my master has got a feast ready. And everything's spread. And there's an invitation for you. I think that's lovely, you know. And all that man had to do, what was it? Just to come. That was all. He just had to come. But he didn't come. He didn't come. He made an excuse. And an excuse really is only a polite way of telling a lie. And the excuse that he made was that he had bought a little piece of ground. I have to go and see it. Well, I suppose the ground would be there when he would be back. But the thing is this, friend, he didn't go. He didn't come to that feast. That servant went to another man. And he said, now look, my master has a feast spread and he wants you to come. It seems to me that master who spread the feast, that Lord who spread the feast, in effect said, look, you come and enjoy the things that I enjoy. Oh, that's a lovely attitude that God has. Come and enjoy what he enjoys. What does God enjoy? God enjoys the fruits of Calvary tonight. Enjoys the work of his Son. I want you to enjoy it too. I've been enjoying it now since I was a wee boy of 12 and a half years of age.
Some of you have never enjoyed it once or yet. So he's got some cattle to look after. Oh yes, he's got some cattle to attend to. And he says, I can't come. I pray thee have me excused. And then he goes to another man. And the other man says, well now, I've got married, you see, and I can't come. Married. Too bad, you know, people will keep you back. It's an awful thing for a piece of ground to keep a man from enjoying a feast. A few cattle to keep a man from enjoying the feast. A loved one to keep a man from enjoying the feast. Here's what I want to underscore in your mind, friend. That servant only invited them once. Only once. And they refused it and they rejected the offer. Now listen. Let me come close to you for a moment. How many times have you been invited to come to Christ? Now honestly, how many times have you been invited to come to Christ? There's a standing invitation in this book. From the very heart of Christ. What does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The last day of the feast, John 7. And they've been feasting for 7 days. And he says, come unto me and drink. Now he's inviting you to come. And I don't know how many invitations you have had. I don't know. But I tell you this, God has a record of them. God has a record of them. And I don't want to be unkind at this point. I wouldn't be unkind, but I want to tell you the truth. That in the last final assize, the great judgment bar day, there will be books opened, and I believe that one of the books that will be opened, not only will be the Bible, but every opportunity and every invitation that sinners have. And that's your tragedy, friend, to be at that judgment bar and see those invitations. But you'll have to say to yourself, it's all through. It's all through. I remember the last night in the meetings there in conference hall, the man from Ireland, he encouraged me to come to Christ and I didn't come. Oh my friend, there's salvation for you tonight. There's a home in heaven. You can book your name for it tonight. And have your sins forgiven. You may come. You know what the last verse said that we read? None of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Well, those men might have said, well, it was only a supper. Some of us could do with missing a meal. But listen, friend, you can't afford to miss this one. This is God's provision for the guilty sinners of earth. You can't afford to miss it. I'm afraid some of you will. I'm afraid some of you will. When I leave Brisbane in the morning, God willing, or maybe when I shake your hand tonight at the door, will I have to shake the hand of an individual, a Christ rejecter? The servant came back. Those pathetic excuses were known by the Lord, no doubt. But the servant came back, and what did the master say? He says, go out quickly into the lanes of the city and bring in hither the who? The poor. The poor. Well, the poor man couldn't buy a bit of ground. No, he couldn't do that. And the maimed, the halt, they couldn't follow oxen. And the blind. Oh, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't appreciate a wife. And maybe no wife would marry that type of person in those days. I don't know. But that's the kind of people. And the servant said, it's done as thou hast commanded. And yet there's room. There's room. And there's a table spread. Do you know one thing that... this has happened to me all the days of my preaching life. I've been invited for dinner and tea, whatever. But you know, friend, I've never, ever brought a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, to the house we're going for. That would have been an insult. People invite you to go for a meal. And you know, when you go there, the ladies have all the table spread. And then at the appropriate moment they say, come on through. And what do? You just respond to that invitation and you come. You sit down. Then you enjoy the meal. You see, it would be an insult to God for you to add your wee bit to this. But the table spread. And as I would looked into that table that evening, what would I have seen? I'd have seen a poor man there. Seen a blind man there. Weighing. Another kind of man there. Who should have sat there? The man that bought the ground should have been there. The man that bought the oxen should have been there. And the man that married the wife should have been there. I mean, they weren't. They weren't. My friend, God's house is filling fast. Chapter 13. They've come from the east. From the west. And from the north. And the south. And they'll sit down. And said, the Savior, you yourselves. Who were they? People that were privileged. People that should have been in. But they weren't in. And why were they not in? Were they invited? Of course they were invited. Do you know why they weren't in? For the same reason that you're not in now. Because they didn't come. I wonder, friend, will you come? Not asking you to come to a penitent rail. We're not asking you to come to an inquiry room. We're not asking you to put up your hand or sign a card. We're just asking you to come to Christ. The man that bears the marks of Calvary. I wonder, will you come tonight? The late Queen Victoria, on one occasion, was riding in the estate at Balmoral, Scotland. And she lost her way. And a little shepherd boy saw the problem that the Queen had. And he directed her back home. The next day, he got a telegram. And he got it from the Queen. And on the telegram it read like this. Come to me. Come at once. Come as you are. Well, you can imagine the shepherd boy looking at the telegram signed by the Queen Victoria. Come to me. Well, that was clear enough. He was to come to the Queen. And then, of course, he read the next one. And he said, come as you are. There he was standing in his old shepherd clothes. I would have to get a new shirt. No, no. The Queen says, come as you are. And then he read, come at once. There's no delay. And he left his post. And just on the basis of the telegram from the Queen, he went to see her. My friend, tonight, there's a Savior standing with outstretched arms to welcome sinners. What does he say?
come to me.
Come as you are. Oh, but so somebody will have to get all my life polished up and cleaned out. No, no, my dear friend. He says, come as you are. Lost. Guilty sinner. No matter how far down you are in sin or even in religion. He says, come as you are. Come at once.
Do you know that the Saviour who spake in chapter 11 and he said, come unto me. Do you know what he said in chapter 25? Depart from me. Depart from me. I wonder, friend, will you come tonight? It's our last night. I'd likely never see some of you again. I wonder, will I meet you in heaven? I wonder, will I see you on the golden shore? And when I meet you there, friend, when I meet you there, you'll say, and I came to Christ. I would be enough of business if I were there and you weren't. And I wondered, and that soul that sat down in those meetings, that wee boy or girl that sat there, they didn't come that night. They never came. My friend, don't miss God's supper. Don't miss God's provision. Don't miss God's salvation. Don't miss Christ. The big question that Pilate asked as he sat on the bench, what shall I do then with Jesus? Just call Christ. God help you to come tonight.